My name's Michelle Owu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project. The aim of the research is to compile a contemporary portrait of the UK. The date today is the 31st of July 2009 and the time is now 6:20 p.m. Could you tell me, please, your name, your age and where you come from?
Yes, hello, my name's Caroline Brooke. I'm 48 years old and I'm from Birmingham.
Did you come from Birmingham today?
We did, yes.
Who have you brought along with you?
I brought my partner, Charlie. He's my stage manager, my production manager and my director for the piece.
Tell me a bit more about what you're actually going to do on the plinth today.
Well, I've written about 35 minutes worth of actual dialogue, which will be padded out a little with a costume change and some dramatic pauses and a little bit of bubble blowing for when I absolutely run out of things to say. And I think if I can manage to slow down the pace at which I'm doing everything, we should be all right. We should be running at about 50 minutes, I think, which gives me 5 minutes to get on, 5 minutes to get off. Hopefully I won't fall off. We did a rehearsal in a local park a few days ago where Charlie pegged out the size that I would have with tent pegs and some red and white hazard tape, and I did manage to fall off that twice. Now that was only flat on the grass, so we'll just keep our fingers crossed.
You mentioned a bit of sirens and traffic noise going on in the background. It's a very busy time in the square. Apologies for that. You mentioned some themes in your piece. Would you like to tell me a bit more about those?
Yes, the whole thing has the theme of freedom. It has the title of Being Heard, which is a phrase that my daughter actually used when I asked her to describe me in three words, which is something that we put on the application. She actually, one of the phrases she used was being heard, and I thought that's rather nice because it's not all about look at me, look at me, look at me. It's not so much about that. It's about the things that I believe in and the way I feel. I like people to know about it. I like to express my opinions. I'm not very opinionated, and I can be a bit loud, but that's you know, one of those things. So I've written this piece, and it's a virtual snapshot of part of my life. It's all about life being a journey, and that's the opening line. Life is a journey, because it is, and it's exciting and it's terrifying, and as your life goes on, things change so much. And over the last 10 years or so, my life has changed very, very dramatically. So this snapshot, it's fictional pieces, but the themes that it covers as it goes through the poetry and the monologues, they click into place and they come full circle and they get to where I am now, which is fairly balanced.
You mentioned just then there have been some dramatic changes in your life in recent years. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, some personal things happened. I had a breakdown in my marriage, and I met Charlie, and changed jobs a few times, and moved house twice, and things have just completely changed, really. But you come through these things, and awful as they are sometimes, people say, I don't know how you cope with things, but then you have to, because there is no alternative. There's nothing else you can do. You have to move on, get on with your life, and try to get the nice things out of it. Try to look at the positives and see what you've come through. And it's changed me in that it's made me more of a balanced person, I think. I don't over-dramatise things as much as I used to. I tend to look at the bigger picture a little bit more now. And it's made me realise how very lucky I am to have my life, the way my life is now. I mean, I complain about having grey hair and wrinkles, and yes, but at least I've lived this long. At least I'm intact. My health is pretty good. Things could have been a lot worse.
You mentioned you changed jobs a few times. Mm. What are you doing at the moment?
I'm a secretary at the moment. I for 15 years, I was a theatre programmer. I worked in three different venues. Really, really enjoyed jobs. But unfortunately, with the advent of lottery and Arts Council funding, on two occasions, they said to two of the venues I was working with, here, have some money, closed down for 2 years to be refurbished. And that unfortunately ended up with me losing my jobs. And it's so difficult to get into theatre programming. It's quite a prestigious job. People really like doing it and people don't leave. It is very difficult to get into. So having got into it, I learnt a lot. I had a most fabulous 15 years. And when I had to leave my last job, it made me stop and think and take stock of what I was actually doing. So I spent, this was 2005, I spent the whole summer, well actually it was from about February onwards through till about September, working in a temping position, various temping jobs, so that I could take off almost every Friday and almost every Monday, and we visited music festivals. We spent the whole summer working at music festivals. We did litter picking, we did stewarding, we did venue management, voluntary basis. We went to, I think it was 23 festivals that summer. We did everything from Glastonbury to tiny folk festivals, Chester Folk Festival, to we did the Isle of Wight Festival. We just had an amazing summer. It was wonderful. And so from that, I learnt that my life doesn't have to be my job. I can now go to work, I can be a secretary, I can type a few letters, and then I can go away from there at 5 o'clock and I can live and I can do what I want to do. The job is a means to an end. They pay me, I take the money, and then I go and do wonderful things.
Tell me a little bit more about some of the shows that you programmed.
Well, I started working off in a tiny little 96-seater local arts centre where I was living in Staffordshire at the time. And there were just three of us employed there. There was the manager. She used to program all the visual arts because that was what she was amazing at. That there was a technician come caretaker, but he was very big on the music scene and he knew a lot of musicians, so he would program the music side. I had only ever done secretarial work and amateur acting up till that point, so I went in there and said, yes, I know what I'm doing, when I didn't. And in the 2.5 years I was there, I taught myself to program theatre. And I had people like the Gay Sweatshop Theatre Company, Chloe Poems, Custard Factory Theatre Company from Birmingham, lots of really good up-and-going theatre, Negative Equity Theatre Company. And they came to me for no money. They came on just a box office split. And with a 96-seater theatre, they weren't never going to get a lot of money anyway. But they came anyway, and it was fantastic. And I built up contacts with those companies. And I taught myself how to balance a budget so that I knew how much I could sell tickets for to ensure that the theatre company got their money and that we covered our costs. And 2.5 years after that, I was only working part-time then as well. I got a full-time job as an assistant theatre manager in a 300-seater theatre. So I went from 96 seats up to 300, 400, something like that.
Where was this?
This was in Lichfield. It was. It's now called the Garrick Theatre. And it was more of a civic venue, so it did more of Dodd and old-time music hall and this kind of stuff. And we carried on with that, but we introduced... we had a whole truck theatre company come to us, and I introduced all that kind of thing. We carried on with Custard Factory Theatre. People I'd made contacts with, they came to us. I set up a competitive one-act drama festival that was part of the All England Theatre Festivals while I was there. I set up a children's film festival. I set up a children's youth theatre. I invented and set up this children's character that was associated with the venue to sort of, it was a marketing tool really, to draw people into the children's shows that I then was programming for the place. It was fabulous, and the manager there was very, very good. He let me run with all of this. He let me develop the things that I wanted to develop, and we closed in about 99, 2000, something like that. I'd been there 7 years, and we were really amazing, but then it closed for 2 years for refurbishment. Fortunately, I was able to get a job in another theatre in Birmingham, a tiny arts centre, and again, this was somewhere I hadn't done before. It had got two permanent performing spaces, then it had got art galleries, it had got performance spaces outside, it had got a music venue, and I developed lots of programming skills from there, and that was fabulous. But that last one was a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week job. I was there 3 and a bit years, and it was exhausting. I came out of it totally exhausted, because also I met Charlie while I was there, and so I was, you know, I got a new relationship going on, and it was just very, very tiring. And when I finished there, that was when we took the summer off and did all the festivals. And after that was when I started to work a proper job, as my mum would have said.
Do you think you might go back into theatre programming?
I'd like to. I'd very much like to, but I think I'd do it on my own terms this time. I think if, for some time, Charlie and I had talked about having our own venue. I don't know how viable that will be, but eventually it might be viable. It might be something we'd like to do. He's a very good production and stage manager, so combined with my talents as well as a programmer, we can put shows together and we can program, we can take things on the road, we can program into, we can sell shows to venues, you know. Maybe that's something we'll do in the future.
Just going back to the experience of going on to the plinth, Do you have any reservations or concerns about going up there?
Only my own fear that I'll make a complete idiot of myself while I'm up there. That number of heights, and I may have neglected to mention that, but I mean, that's fine, because if you don't face your fears, you'll never get anywhere. One of the pieces that I've written for today is a children's story, and it has a theme of facing your fears, of just once in your life try something terrifying, because what's the worst that can happen? Now, in the children's story I've written, it's a little bit Roald Dahl, and something horrible does happen, but it might not, you know. It might be absolutely fine. So no, absolutely no reservations about going up there at all, apart from making myself look an idiot, falling off, getting entangled in the net, having to be cut down, blah, blah, blah.
But what was it about this particular project that inspired you to take part, do you think?
The first thing that inspired me was Anthony Gormley. I love his work. I first became aware of his work a few years ago. He did a piece called Field, and it was shown in the Icon Gallery in Birmingham, and I went to see it and was blown away completely. It was incredible, to the extent that I went back 3 or 4 times. I took my daughter, I took my friends, I went back again on my own. It was incredible. It was just inspirational. It was beautiful to look at. It was the idea that he'd involved lots and lots of people, and they'd all come together and they'd put this piece together, and each little individual figure was subtly different. And it was people's ideas, other people's ideas, and he brought that together as a dream, and it was amazing. I work in Birmingham City Centre, and I have to walk past his piece, The Iron Man, every day on my way to work, which is just lovely. Yesterday, they had a giant cricket hat on it and a very big cricket bat, because the Ashes are just about to open at Edgbaston, or they had opened. I'm not sure whether Anthony Gormley was aware of the hat and the bat, but never mind. I really enjoy his work. I love what he does. I like the fact that he puts himself into the work. We were watching a television programme, The Big Art Project, fairly recently, and he was bidding for one of the pieces. And his idea was incredible. It was to put molecules of cyanide, a model of molecules of cyanide, on top of this hill that had been a pit where there was cyanide, and it was amazing. And he wasn't selected in the end for this, but I really enjoyed his idea. So that gave me the inspiration to do this. And then the idea of, because I've recently started to feel a bit more balanced in my life and a bit more sure of right, finally, okay, I know who I am now. I hit my midlife crisis, discovered who I was, and I'm pretty happy with who I am now. And I'd quite like to show people that you can come through horrible stuff and you can come out the other side, and everything will be okay in the end. It's a bit optimistic, but you know.
What impact do you think being on the plinth will have?
On who? On me? Or I think it'll have quite an impact on me, because so many of my friends and family have given me the most amazing support on this. Emotional support. They've all said they're going to watch me online, and you know, lots of people have been, people I work with, people have been really enthusiastic and really blown away by this. And my mum sent me a text today and she said, "You're very brave." And I thought that was amazing, because I didn't know she thought that. And I didn't particularly feel brave about this. I felt full of inspiration. But I think that what this will do for me today is to settle my mind in a way that my life has changed a lot, and I'm still okay at the end of it. You know, I'm still alive, I'm still here, I'm still moving, and I think I've got a lot more to look forward to, and I think that it will help to make me feel as if I know what I'm doing.
Is the acting a relatively recent thing for you? Is this something you've done for a long time?
Oh no, this goes back years and years and years. It probably goes back to about 1985, 86-ish, something like that. I moved to Staffordshire when I first got married, and joined a local amateur dramatic society, and I'd always had an interest in theatre, and did quite a bit with them. And then when I started working at the Arts Centre, the first one, there were some really inspirational, amazing people there, and we started our own theatre company, and we had this fantastic artistic director who I've started working with again now. I've been doing panto with him for a couple of years. We did all sorts. We did street theatre. I mean, he wrote some amazing pieces, and we did drama festivals and all sorts. So when I moved away from that area, I started to write my own theatre pieces, and I did my own drama festivals and entered stuff that I'd written, because I couldn't find anything else that I would like to do, so I did it myself. Over the last 4 or 5 years with Charlie, we set up a band, and we did some songwriting, and we did some, you know, local very small festivals, and we played a local pub and that kind of thing. So it's all the writing has always been there. When I was at school, I would always write short stories and poetry, and so that's always been there.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I know I was randomly chosen by computer, but even so, it's been an amazing opportunity. If I get up there and I freeze and I'm so frightened I don't do anything, it doesn't matter, because I've got this far, you know, and everybody within this organisation has just been so lovely and so helpful and just really, really wonderful.
Thank you very much indeed.